to him a long time ago. If not, hopefully you're doing it today. That's what we're to live for, is to give ourselves away so he can use us. It's not about us. We don't want to get in the way. Amen. Thank you all for your prayers. We made it to Pittsburgh and back. Everything fell into place, and God's word was given, and we thank God for that. And to continue to pray for me and my family, and I thank you all for the love and everything you have given for the loss of my sister. Thank you so much. It's been very helpful, and it means so much to me. Amen. Now, for the Order My Steps, the name of it is How to Stay Untainted. How to Stay Untainted. One of the unnerving things that when you look at Christian history is how sometimes we leave ourselves wide open. In fact, how we put our guards down. If you remember in the 80s, and I'm just going back, I'm starting back in the 80s, but it goes way back. Pyramid schemes, when they came out, the main groups they would go after is churches, and they successfully went after churches, scammed and got a lot of money out of them. And they were bad cases that should not have happened, but churches would engage in them by not recognizing or understanding faith. And later on, when the whole housing market crashed, if you remember that, when the banks were going out, I don't know if you got a chance, there was a documentary which they were showing banks telling them, go to the churches. And they were. And they were going to pastors. And pastors were telling them, God has given you a house. And majority of those people lost their homes. And you may understand, why is this happening? Well, the problem is, God empowers us not to be tainted or to be misled. We just don't use it. Sometimes we can be very naive. We take our Christianity sometimes in a weakness that God didn't give us, that we gave us, if that makes sense. We have to make sure that we're clear. Now, those two cases I use were more financial cases, and they're dangerous. But the biggest ones I see happen more are the spiritual cases. We'll hear message or messages, feel inspired, and we'll move. We'll say, what's the matter with that, Pastor? Well, a lot of the messages are wrong. But you won't question it because you're moved. You enjoy it. Man, I enjoy what I heard. Amen. Praise God. But was it right? And that's our responsibility. Once again, God gives us that. Let's understand. Look what it said here. If you turn your bulletins over, it says at the top, we have carelessly tolerated distorted, corrupted, and inaccurate presentations of Jesus and the gospel without reverently analyzing it through God. That's a mouthful right there that I wrote. But the first thing I wanted you to get was this is exactly what we're doing. We'll hear something and just take it. And Paul was even inspired to write in his letter from God, inspired from God, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4, for if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preach, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted. Let me stop there. If you notice, he keeps saying different or other. He's letting you know there's going to be a difference. You should know this, but unfortunately, why do we allow it? Once again, it's usually because of feelings, because of what it seems. We just accept it. And look what he says. You put up with it easily enough. Basically saying the answers are right there if we would check it, but we tend to go, oh, amen, and we'll take it. Take it. It surprised me how so many Christians will believe in things that are not in the Bible, but I enjoy it. I like it. It's what I feel. You put up with it easily enough. He says we don't check. We don't treat the word as something that is very important, and it has to be exactly what he said. Our Christian walk has been severely distorted by what we tolerate. It shows in Galatians 5, 7 through 9. He says, you were running a good race. Who cut in and kept you from obeying the truth? The kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. Now, what is he saying? So, now, how is he able to say this verse? And he's doing what we should be doing as other Christians. We're being accountable for other Christians' Christian walk. And you're recognizing, you know what, I seen you in your walk and you were being a Christian, and all of a sudden you stopped. What happened is what he's saying. Who did you allow, or what did you allow in your life to make you all of a sudden go this way now? to make you turn. What did it? And as he's showing that this kind of persuasion, he's saying it didn't come from Christ. You can't go, well, I heard it in church. You didn't hear it from Christ. You may have heard it in church, but you need to hold the church accountable to make sure they're giving you Christ. Does this make sense? Everybody get this? He's saying this kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. He's saying if you heard it from a minister, if a minister gave up and said, you know what, you don't have to follow this part of the Bible. You need to say, but you need to show me that in the Bible. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? You know, before I stop following something in the Bible, you better show me that in the Bible. You know, like Colossians 2 gives us a clear reference on why we don't follow a lot of things in the Old Testament. It lets us understand what they were and why we're not under them anymore. So you can go, okay, that's why we don't do the sacrifices and the things of that sort anymore. Got it. But I needed the Bible to tell me. But if you just get some man, I don't care if he called himself a man of God, I don't care how long he's been around, and he says you don't have to do this anymore, we just tolerate it. We just accept it. That's why he says a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. What does that mean? So now you tell me that. Okay, let's say I'm just kind of random listening to somebody saying that. And I go, oh, we don't have to do that anymore. And I go, hey, sister, someone says, did you know we didn't have to do that anymore? And then she goes and tells another friend, you know, we don't have to do this anymore. And right now, the church has a lot of things that we don't do that the Bible clearly says to do. Because we allowed somebody to say we don't do it. We accepted it without questioning it through God. Once again, lack of reverence. And now we just do it. No big deal. God doesn't care about that, is what we'll say, even though God didn't say that. Does that make sense? Amen. He says we put up with it, and that's the problem. God warned what dangerous people will use and whom it will affect. Remember, his Bible gives us everything. It gives us the instruction we need, but it also gives us the protection and the things to be alert of. Look what it says in Romans 16, 17 through 18. He says, I urge you, and he starts off with that. That's one of those warning of, I need you to do this. I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teachings you have learned. One thing I loved about this one is not only did he say who put obstacles in your way, he's talking about the type of obstacles. Now, some of us are living our lives based on us, and people try to stop us, and we call them obstacles. Is that right? Well, not necessarily, because if I'm living my life based on me, I want you to put obstacles because I shouldn't be living a life based on me. Do you understand that? He's saying, no, no, no. The ones who put obstacles that go against what God's word says. Anybody that stops me from living God's word, he says, I urge you to watch out for them. The ones that try to make you not go to church, read your word, not follow what God's word said. He said, those are the ones I got to be careful of. He said, watch out for them. And the way you'll know it, the stuff they'll tell you will go against what the word is saying. Has everybody got that? That's how you know the difference between. Okay, they're going to say things and do things that go against what God's word has been saying. And now he tells us what they use. He says, keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetite. So that's the first thing. They're going to have an agenda, not to glorify God. And you'll know it. Okay, but then he tells this is what they use. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive minds of, here it is, naive people. And unfortunately, that's what the church has become in many cases, not naive. When we follow a group, I watch it in politics, and there's a group that follows the Democrats, there's a group that follows the Republicans, Christians, and they naively follow more on what they want than what the word says. They will twist God's word to fit that group. Did y'all get this? Fit that, even though none of them are for God at all. Don't be twisted or messed up on. None of them have been for God. But we'll twist it because it's what we want because we're naive. That's a problem. He says they use, first of all, smooth talk. Comes from the Greek word kreistologia, which means fair speech, believability. Didn't say it was true. It's just they say things that make me go, man, I never thought of it that way. They hit a nerve. They hit something that I really like. I like what they said and how they said it. I didn't say anything about it being right. Do y'all get that? They say things that go against things that I desire. Does that make sense? Things that I desire. Even the ones using politicians, in a sense, they'll go after Christian groups and they'll hit on things that we pick and choose out the Bible and ignore the things that we ignore out the Bible. Right? And it's dangerous that we follow. Smooth talk. So that's the first thing they use. And then he says flattery. Now, in English, we know that as when they're saying something about me. When they're Keith, you're looking pretty good today. You know what I mean? It's flattery, okay? That's part of flattery. But the word eulogia, which we use the word eulogy, you know, as you use in a sermon for a funeral or whatever, is when you speak kindly. That's what it usually means. You're speaking of that person. Now, that really shouldn't be in a funeral, but that's a whole other thing. But because I'm not speaking of you, I'm supposed to be preaching the word. But that's where the term comes from. Eulogy is I'm speaking good of you or speaking good of. So when that flattery comes, it's not just talking about a view. It just means what I'm saying is flattering. It's very good. It may be of you. It may be of a situation. But what I'm saying really paints a perfect picture. If you're not careful, you'll kind of hear it. And it's kind of, wow, it'll make you feel, everybody say feel, good. Make you feel good. It says, fine speaking, elegance of language, praise, adoration, benediction, fair speech. It'll be just one of those that you just hear, and it'll kind of make you feel. I'll engage you, and you'll go, wow, I like what that man was saying. Does everybody get that? People don't realize, and one of the biggest con men of the churches was Jim Jones. And the reason why he was able to do it, the man was able to speak. A huge orator that was able to speak that gathered millions of people, actually, was Hitler. He was able to speak how he said it and what he said. Do y'all get where I'm coming from? And if I allow it without checking it, I'm going to be pulled in because I like what I hear. If I'm what the last word says, a naive person. Comes from the Greek word akekos, which means innocent, unsuspecting. This is the right word. Simple. Simple. Proverbs talks about the simple people. Of you'll hear something and you kind of just, you ever hear people say, I just look for the good in people. A Christian will automatically go, there is no good in people but Christ, right? But you'll hear people say that. And I hear Christians say, I'm just looking for the good in a person. And it sounds good, doesn't it? Well, the Bible's letting you know that's foolish. You fully understand. You'll go in, a Christian already goes in with his guard up to everybody. Watch this, including yourself. You get that? I don't trust you. I don't trust me. Does that make sense? I'm looking for the God in you, and hopefully you're looking for the God in me. But understanding I still exist, you still exist. But our naivety gets in the way. And this is why somebody comes in and say, I'm coming in so your church can have and you have, and I'm speaking to you because I really care about you. All that's meaningless. You still got to check. Does it make sense? Everybody with me? Okay. So you understand this. Now, God empowers us. But it's our responsibility to stay untainted. Okay, he says in James 1:27, religion that our God Father accepts is pure and faultless. And we call ourselves religious, or you call yourself Christians. He was saying these characteristics will exist if you truly are. He's saying, is this to look after orphans and widows in their distress? So that should be, first of all, the churches should be going after helping those in need, especially those who are missing their providers. That should be an instant thing of the churches. We did a Bible study. If y'all get a chance, you get a chance to come to Bible study. We did a Bible study on the church's responsibility to community. It's on the website. I encourage you to listen to it because it kind of gives details on what our responsibilities are and how we're supposed to do it. That's the first part. But the part we're going to focus on is where he says, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Stop there for a minute. Now, I'm going to show you how naive we can be. I'll hear Christians, and it's not just naive, I think we're lazy in a sense, who say, God will keep it from happening to me. You ever notice that? We almost think, I can walk around and be a fool, and God won't let blah, blah, blah happen to me. Sounds good. That's not what he said. He was like, when God gives you a command or a responsibility, you are already empowered. You just now must do it. He says, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Keep oneself. That means I have to stop it from happening. I have to take what God has given me to make sure I'm not polluted. Okay? And the only way that's going to happen is if my mind is on spiritual things. Do y'all get that? We're going to talk about that. We're going to give a detail on how this is supposed to work. We have to also understand God has made it clear that while we are truly in him, we cannot be harmed by Satan. The key is truly in him. It says in 1 John 5:18, we know that anyone born of God does not continue in sin. That's the first thing. Doesn't mean it doesn't sin. It means doesn't continue in sin, doesn't continue a life of sin. Remember, it all comes down to my relationship with God. You can fool me. Okay, you could fool me, but if I'm living and I'm still sinning and I just learned how to hide it better, remember, even if you show, you kind of want to show me because I'm trying to help you not head to hell. Does that make sense? All right, just because you hide it, it just means you're hiding your way of going to hell. I want help. Don't you want help? Do you hide when you go to the doctor? You try to hide what's the matter with you so they don't fix it. Try to figure out what's going on with me, doctor. Do you do that? You know what I mean? I'm going to hide it. I'm not going to get sick, but, you know, tell me what, that would be foolish. All right, when we hide it from one another, you don't realize you're really only hurting you. Do y'all get this? Because he says, if I'm truly a Christian, this is a characteristic. I will still not be, this will not be something that defines me at all. Will not at all. Do y'all get this? Okay, he makes it clear and you see it in his word. He says, does not continue sin, but the one who was born of God keeps him safe and the evil one cannot harm him. So first of all, I'm going to be in God and Satan can't make me do it as long as I'm staying in God. My job is to stay in God. He'll take care of me being. So when you hear a Christian go, I try, but I can't. Well, it's because you tried. He didn't ask you to try. He told you what to do. Do y'all get this? You know, usually when we go through some trial or something we're dealing with, we try to fix it in the name of the Lord. We just add the in the name of the Lord, but we try to do it. And God was like, go ahead. So I told you I'm here to do it. My job is to go to him. He'll take care of it. Does that make sense? Everybody get that? Okay. I mean, I use animals here to give you an example. There's a smart wildebeest and a dumb wildebeest. You get the dumb wildebeest baby, and he realizes a lion's come after him. So he says, I'm going to fight the lion. The next thing he'll be called is dinner because he's not going to do anything else. Because he's a baby wildebeest. They're going to jump him. He's done. Smart wildebeest realize I'm going to run back to the pack and allow the bigger ones to handle it. He runs right back into the circle. He's called safe. Do you understand that? See, the other one said, I'm going to fix it myself. I can take this line, right? While the other one was like, no, I'm going to do exactly what they told me. Stick with the pack. So God, stay in him. He'll protect us. But staying in him is staying in his word and following that. So he lets us know Satan can't make me do anything as long as I stay in God. And understand that God has clearly provided the only accurate path in life. The significance of this statement is more than some amen statement. It's something that you have to look at and go, oh, he gave me the answer. The thing I love about this is I don't have to go find 8 million books to find ways when I have the way. And a key word is the. Jesus answered in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's not just who we go to. He's who we go through. Do y'all get this? So he's every aspect, and he gives us the three things, and we broke this down in the way, that means the path I'm taking, the truth, so that's the answer I have, and the life is what I'm supposed to be living. So he gives me everything. He answers and covers everything. I have it all in God's word. So why am I looking elsewhere? Well, because pastor, because it doesn't always make sense. We didn't ask you about sense. Well, pastor, it didn't always seem the way it should. I didn't ask you how it seemed. You have the answer. Does everybody get that? So just do what he says. So when God gives us all of this, we're covered from being tainted. Do you understand that? So you have everything. So then using what God has given us, how do we do it? So looking to God, we clearly keep ourselves from being polluted by doing the following. First of all, test everything. Everybody say everything. What does that include? All things. Okay, so test everything. You're hearing this sermon. First thing you're going to do when you go home, before you do it with the sermon, is you're going to test. You're going to check to make sure this is in the word. You're going to go over this and make sure this is in line with what God is saying. Correct? Well, it's not what I was planning, Pastor. I had other things to do. But okay, if you say so, right? But no, this is true. Test everything. You know, how many times I heard somebody listen to something that sounds Christian-like? The internet, the radio has stuff that if you listen to it, you may go, take away the and start looking. Let me make sure that's what it says. Right? I heard a minister quote a scripture one time, and I was like, wow, I didn't realize it said that. Only to check it, no, it didn't really say that. They all get this? Okay? Be very careful. Test everything. And the Bible shows this in 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 through 22. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. He's saying the Bible's going to distinguish, and I can sort. Here's the problem. We read the Bible, but even if we still think it's okay, we kind of mold it and hold on to it, right? But that's on you now, right? If I feared God, lived in reverence, if the Bible says stop, I'm done. There's no, well, I'm done. Bible says do, I'm doing it. Not that, well, not in this case. Do y'all get this? Test everything. Test it. That's the first thing. Secondly, avoid anything that is not in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6 says, now, brothers, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, do not go beyond what is written. Now, one thing that happens today is you'll get a sermon. They'll tell you the sermon. You'll hear the sermon. Give you scripture. That's right. Give you scripture. That's right. Then they'll give you this statement, something they learned, something of wisdom. And you'll go, wow. Then they go back to scripture, scripture. Then they go back to another statement. What I just did is I mixed the statements with the scripture. And you're so into what I'm saying, you took them all as it came from God. You've just been poisoned. Do y'all get this? Very common practice. It happens all the time. People read books. The book will give scripture. Give scripture. Man, I love the scripture. Then they'll give the statement. Give a scenario. Give you something that'll make you go, I didn't think about that. Well, probably shouldn't have. Amen? You need to check that statement in the Word. Does that make sense? Only time they go off is when they're just giving you light to that scripture. That's it. It shouldn't be. And in my experience, I also notice when they start that, I'm kind of like, okay, here we go. And it might have worked for them, but it has nothing to do with it if it's right. He says, do not go beyond what is written. Amen? So it even shows as Christians, or especially as ministers, my job isn't to be brilliant, it's to be obedient. And to diligently give you what he already said. I think we get puffed up sometime and want to give you this, but wait till you hear my message. I'm going to be profound. You're going to get something from me. It has nothing to do with me. Right? Nobody remembers your mailman. Right? He gives you the message. That's his job. That's all my job is to give you this message. Clearly give you this message. Do not go beyond what is written. But too many times, and I see this happen many times, in which they'll hear a message and they'll take the scripture apart, but they'll get this other section. That's that other section that I'm disturbed by, and you should be disturbed by, because we fall into it. The same minister that showed me the scripture also said this. That's why I always say, I don't want you to hear you say pastor said. I want you to make sure you say the word says. Because if pastor just said it, it's going to be wrong if it just came from me. Okay, and then you have to hold the shepherds accountable to protect you. Now, the key is, that's my job. Okay, my job is to hold you accountable to protect you, not to judge you, not to make you happy in me, not for you to convince me so I am convinced and allow you to do what you. It has nothing to do with it. It's to protect you. Does that make sense? And the key I love is we're just under shepherds. So we had the true shepherd who gave us instructions on exactly how to take care of the sheep. So the sheep can't go and say, well, he only made us eat grass, so can you now let us go over here and eat these weeds, because we'd rather have weeds. And I go, you know what, that's good. I don't think he'll mind. No, because I have to now answer to the shepherd when he goes, wait, you're feeding them that? What did I tell you to feed them? Did y'all get this? All right, that's my job. Hold me accountable. Look what it says here. By being spiritually vigilant, and this is what we have to do as Christian shepherds, Acts 20, 28 through 31, it says, keep watch over yourselves. That's the first thing. So if I have a minister who is living wild but preaches a good word, you probably need to find some other place. Y'all get where I'm going from? You may say, but the word is good, but this guy, I don't know. I seen him here and he's doing this and that. Because I have to watch over myself, because there's an example I have to do as well. So it's keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So now that's the command. I have to watch over me and the flock. It's saying, be shepherds of the church of God. So then I now have to be responsible for this flock. You have to hold me accountable to hold you accountable. It goes on to say, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. He's saying there's going to be people even from the church that are going to come in and they're going to now teach and say stuff. And I can't go, oh, yeah, I know Brother Stone such. He's cool. I can't say that. I can't go, yeah, sister so-and-such, yeah, man, she's on point. I always have to go, so what did they tell you? Do you ever get this? Did you find that in the Bible? Am I clear on this? And hopefully when you're hearing from me and you go to another minister and you tell them what you just learned in here, they go, so where's that at in the Bible? They don't just go, amen. They're held accountable. He said, from even your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. I understand number in churches means a lot. We treat this as a business, and you do stuff to deceive and to make people move. And that's one of the hardest things, because I understand it works. It works like crazy. If I gave a feel-good message to make you think you come here and everything's going to fall into place, people would come. And it happens. I've seen people changing that. But we have to distort the word in order to do that. And God doesn't go, well, they meant well, at least they went to church. No, then you're blind lead the blind. You become the flock being led to slaughter. Do you understand that? He says, in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. So I have to be alert on everything that I'm taking in, everything somebody brings to me. And sometimes it may seem like I'm overdoing it. Amen. And I rather overdo it than underdo it. I question everything all the time. You bring me something, I need to know more about it. Make sure it's in the Word. Why must you question everything? That's what I have to do. It is my responsibility. It says, remember that for years I have never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. So I got to be spiritually vigilant, and you got to hold me accountable. Secondly, I got to do the job the way it is written. So you don't want me to just get up here and do it my way. Because you got some ministers that are very vigilant and strong for their church, but it's done their way. Like I said, once again, they'll uphold maybe politics. They'll uphold maybe something they feel. They'll uphold maybe tradition, but they don't do what God is saying. So it says in Ephesians 4:12-14, after you read 11, you know, 11, which tells he's the one who made the church and what the church is responsible for, it goes to do what? To prepare God's people for works of service. Why are you here? For me to prepare you for works of service. For you to be inspired? Didn't say that. Amen if you are. For you to feel good? Didn't say that. Praise God if you are. To give you a word to make you feel good for the week? Man, that's great, but doesn't say that. Praise God if you are. It's to prepare you to go out there to be part of God's body. That's my job. So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith. So that's to be faith-based. And in the knowledge of the Son of God, relationship with him, and become mature. And that you mature. So you're not talking the same way you did last week. Not just talking, so you're not acting. So you're not living as you did before you were a Christian. It says, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That line, and I didn't highlight it, but it should say, it's saying to get you to the point where all of you become one, and then that one becomes part of one. Did y'all get that? Not that if I see one of you mature, I'm still struggling. Because that's just one part of the body. Do y'all get that? All of you are just a part. That's not what this verse says. This verse says, I'm trying to get you so that all of you are maturing as one to be part of one. That's the deal. Why do we come to church? Not only so I can grow and be this super Christian, but I'm part of the super body. Do you understand it? Because I'm just a part. I don't care how great you are, you're worthless by yourself. Amen? Please understand that. You need each other. It has to be this working of together. You can't be this by yourself. It says the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then, he was like, if we do this, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of men in the deceitfulness. Scheming. Now watch what he says. Then you will no longer be infants, first of all. Because now we're working on maturing. If you come to church to follow what is being said, then you'll mature. You try it any other way, you're still infants. And that's why today, majority of Christians, still infants. Because he gave you the answer on how to mature. That's one of it. Secondly, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching. Have you ever heard one minister say something like, wow, I didn't think about it. Oh, this one said, okay, now I'm confused. Are you one of those where easily confused? Why? Because once again, you didn't allow this to happen. Amen. If you're finding yourself confused, it's because either you have an agenda or you're not allowing or I'm not doing my job. Does that make sense? The purpose of church is for us to come together, for us to grow in his word as one, so that when we go out there, immediately you don't budge. They can say anything they want to you. If it's not in line with God's word, man, you're solid. But you still hear Christians go, oh, I heard this, and now I'm confused, and I'm, why are you confused? Well, they said this, and it sounded, no, what does the Bible say? What have you been taught? He was like, you will no longer be tossing back and forth, blown here and there by every wind of teaching. Because somebody taught you this, you're going to follow this. Oh, but then I learned this, I'm going to learn that. It says, by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheme. He was like, they will not deceive you. You will not allow them to deceive you. So that's you holding me accountable. And then you being out there will clearly know the difference between false teachers and teachings. You'll know when it's being false. First of all, not teaching Christ means not teaching the word. Do you understand that? Okay. It says in 2 John 7-11, many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Now, they're called deceivers, so they're going to look like ministers. They're going to look like Christians if you're walking by sight. Understand? They're deceivers because their job is to deceive. Okay, and he's saying they're going to go out and they're not going to acknowledge Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. Now, what is that? That's showing the Bible, because the Bible shows him coming and what we're doing in the New Testament. Do you understand that? Okay, so he's saying when they kind of take away from that anything from the New Testament, they're not acknowledging Jesus in the flesh. Do y'all get this? Okay, it's saying they have gone out into the world, and any such person is a deceiver and antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The term runs ahead in the original translation is not really in there. That term runs ahead, because if you read it in the Greek, how it was written, it should say anyone who does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Okay, that's what it really should say. But we understand running ahead means I'm taking what the word says and I'm now going even further. Further where? I'm going to add to it, or I'm going to take away from it. Continue in means I stay within. All I'm going to give you is what the word says. I'm not going to give you some new word. I'm not going to eliminate some of the word. Think about it. Right? You see things like we see in 1 Corinthians 11, where it tells us certain things that we don't do today. We look at it and, oh, well, it's really no big deal. I don't see God getting caught up in things like that. Not what the word says. We're going over what we feel. He was like, if you do not, and he makes clear, anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Did y'all catch that? All right. I don't care if they're using the Bible. If they don't continue in the teaching, they do not have God. Made that very clear. Okay, he was like, whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. In other words, that's one of those safety things for me. When I listen to a minister and everything I'm getting is out the word, I'm like, okay, amen. I can trust as long as they stay and they keep doing this. The minute I start hearing stuff outside, you got to become alert of that and be careful of that. He lets you know, if you don't, they're not a Christian. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house or welcome him. Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work. That part we even leave out a lot of time. So in other words, somebody's not teaching the word of God, and they're coming to you as another Christian. The only time you take them is to sit down and say, you do know what you're teaching is not in the word of God. And if they go, well, this is what I'm going to teach, then you have to, once again, then we cannot be. Do y'all get that? You're like, I hear what you're saying, but it's not in here. Yeah, but the Holy Spirit told me, oh, no. The Holy Spirit won't go against what the word said. Yeah, but God doesn't care. Well, wait a minute. You're now telling me something that God put something here and he doesn't care about it? See, I hear what you're saying, but unless it's in here, and if you're going to keep teaching that, we cannot be. Did y'all get that? We don't do that, do we? Well, that's my friend from a long time ago. Well, that's my buddy. Well, they mean well. And he just said, you participate in that, you're just as bad as them. Amen? It's one of those teachings we kind of blow off and say it's no big deal. And finally, if we follow these false teachers, it will lead us dangerously off course. It will lead us. Watch this. 1 John 2:21-26. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it. Now, that's incredible how he says. He's saying, I'm writing to you because you already know this. And I'm preaching to you because you guys already know this. This is not stuff that really, you hear a lot of stuff, repetition and stuff that you already know. He's saying, and because no lie comes from the truth. Basically, so I'm telling you, I'm showing you in the scripture what this stuff is saying. So what you're reading is the truth. And it's saying, who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. Now that's my part. That's your part. To keep what you've gotten in the Word stays in you. Now why does he say that? Because what happens is we'll read something in the Bible very clearly. Somebody else will come and we'll start following some other tradition, like we're doing with marriage today, like we're doing with parenting today, like we're doing just with the whole, we're kind of watering down stuff for the sake of peace and people being happy and just people going to church instead of fully doing what the Word of God says. In other words, we're going, I know I've always learned this from the Bible, but we don't do that today. And we're allowing this to happen. He was like, make sure it remains in you. And watch what he says. If it does, everybody say if. Now, did you notice it's saying if it does? Because if it doesn't, it's going to be alternative. It's saying if it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And and this is what he promised us, even eternal life. If it does. Now, think about the other side. If it doesn't. Because he just said the result will be eternal life. If it does. If it doesn't. Y'all see where I'm going with this? Amen. He's making it clear. He's saying, if I make sure I'm doing exactly what the Word is saying, I didn't distort it, add to it, take away from it, I'm good. Do you understand this? And that's not works. That is being in faith, because that's where faith comes from. He's saying, if it does, you will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he's promised us, even eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. The clear thing I need all of us to understand. And to preach is, where is it at in God's Word? Because you're going to hear things that are going to make you go, it's going to hit a nerve. It's going to make you want to follow them, and foolishly, you will. Unless you're saying, you know what? Unless I'm 100% sure it's in God's Word, I'm not doing it. Does that make sense? Unless I'm clear it's here, you go on by yourself. Amen? Be careful not to allow yourself to become tainted, because you are the one who's responsible for it, because he gave you everything so that does not happen. Amen. All right. As the Word says, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Prayer is going to be one of those things we want to do to make sure we're not tainted. So make sure you ask the Father for that protection, to make sure you're focused, clearly focused on him. For those of you who like somebody to pray with you, make sure you see myself or one of the deacons after services. We're more than glad to pray with you. And as you should always do as an example to your children and along with your children, is pray continually. Amen. Prayer and meditation. Amen. It's good we know we can come to Him at all times, and hopefully we're making it a regular process to meditate on His Word and to talk to Him. Amen. Help yourselves with refreshments, and once you come back in, we will continue on the study of comfort.